Seen you locked and changed, didn't ease my pain. Left me feeling ashamed out in the rain. Can't explain the pain, how I stay sane. Don't like the game, will it ever change? Everyone, I am Dr. Tommy Watson, and welcome to Resilient Stories Podcast, where we share the grit and glory behind the stories of amazing people like you who have bounced back from failure and adversity to go on to live their best lives on purpose. Today's episode is sponsored by Million Dollar Business Pathway, where we believe everyone has a story to tell and to sell. If you want to learn how to tell and sell your story, go to tawatson.com under the Programs and Products page and click on Million Dollar Business Pathway to get yourself started. Are you guys ready for an amazing show today? Joining me, I have Elizabeth Korshaw. Hey, Elizabeth.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Great. Thank you for having me on. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
Happy 2021. We survived. We are here. We're blessed and highly favored.
And Elizabeth, I want to let our listeners know that Elizabeth, she's been one of those folks out there on the front line here, making sure that everyone has been good during this pandemic. So thank you for your dedication, service, and sacrifice out there as well. So appreciate that big time.
Anytime. You're welcome. Thank you.
Yeah. So not only is Elizabeth a nurse, but she's wearing all kinds of hats. What else are you doing right now?
Well, thank you. So right now, I would say that I am the global healthcare executive strategist. I also have I'm the CEO and founder of Nurse Exec Innovations, yes, a career coaching brand and consulting brand designed specifically not only for nurses and healthcare professionals, but also for organizations that are having difficulty in regards to engaging their team, really diversifying, including diversity and inclusion on an executive level, because as you know, our leaders need to be representative of our community. So that's where I'm serving there. And then I also have what is called the Big Impact Challenge of 2021. So I have a team of women and men. We're looking to really impact the lives of many across the nation.
You hear that? Many. You hear that? Many, many.
Many, many. And as I've said to you before, behind the scenes, we are looking to help people win in 2021. So whatever your biggest dream, your biggest, whatever scares you, we want to help you achieve your dreams. And we have a plan in regards to helping you to go from vision to execution. So, you know, it's not enough to just hear the information. We want to see you put it into execution and put it to work.
That is awesome. That's one of the big pieces that people fall short at, the big dreams, but no execution. So yes, having you guys help them execute that is going to be phenomenal. I'm looking forward to following up and seeing how that goes, though, as well. Yes. So, again, I appreciate you being on the show today. And, you know, the purpose of our show is to really kind of expose people to the stories of individuals who are amazing and talking about some of the hardships that they faced and how they made it out of some of those hardships as well. So I want to get into our first question for you, Elizabeth. And first question is, what has been the biggest obstacle you have overcome either professionally or personally in your life?
I would say the biggest obstacle for me that I had to overcome personally was the death of my mother.
Hmm.
And the reason why I say that is because I was at a point in my life where skies are the limit. I was soaring, not only personally, but professionally.
Yes.
I had just closed on my house at the age of 29 years old. I had like 100K in the bank. Wow. I had a diversified portfolio. I was just newly engaged. And then December 24th, 2002.
Wow.
My whole life, my whole perspective changed.
Wow.
I went from being so happy to overjoyed, being on a trajectory. I was in a director level position as a nurse, and then my mother passes.
Wow.
And I felt like, if I can make the analogy, felt like all the lights in the world just shut off.
Yes.
I just felt that everything was dark. I felt my like my world was crashing and closing in on me. I didn't want to eat. Yes. I couldn't sleep. So that I would say that was the hardest. That was the hardest for me because I'm an only child.
Yeah.
So that pain, you know, even though she had a lot of nieces and nephews and extended family, but, you know, as you know, the immediate holds and bears that pain. And I felt like I was carrying it alone.
Yes. And, you know, sorry for your loss here. You're not going to relate to that. I lost my mother around the same time, actually in 2001.
Wow.
And, you know, the pain, and to some degree, it never goes away. It's a place that, you know, always is a tender place for people who lost their parents or anyone close to them as well. So, you know, so Liz, you kind of touched on this a little bit. What were some of the emotions that you dealt with during that span of losing your mother?
The emotions that I was experiencing was, as I shared with you, I was like a, if I can use that word, I felt like I was a force to be reckoned with.
Sure.
You know, anything that anybody brought to me or said, you know, why don't we try this or let's do that, you know, education-wise, you know, career-wise, you know, traveling, anything, I was willing to do it. And then I went from being this willing to do everything to not even wanting to. I remember sitting in my home by myself and contemplating suicide.
Wow. Yeah.
I was like, wow.
Yeah.
How did I get here? And this was right after, 4 days after I buried my mom. And I heard a loud voice. And that voice had to be God.
Yes.
Because that voice said, get up and get out.
Mm.
You know, just like that movie, Get Out,
mm-hmm.
that's exactly the voice I heard. I didn't take a shower. My hair was disheveled. It was all over the place. And I went to the mall. I went to the bookstore. And I said to this woman, never forget, could see the white woman on this bookstore level. And I said to her, I need a book for death and dying and grieving. Mm. Because I'm one of those people, I love self-help books.
Yes.
You know, it's either self-help books, it's a gospel song, it's something to inspire me.
Yes.
And just like you're writing your books and I will write my book, we all have to get inspired.
Mm-hmm.
So the book was called A Time to Grieve by Carol Studebaker. And basically that book was not just a regular read. It was more inspirational.
Yes.
It spoke to me as if she was sitting in front of me.
Wow.
It basically told me, you know, don't feel bad for how you're feeling. Don't worry about the things that people have said to you.
Yes.
People don't know what to say. Sometimes they don't realize silence is better than just saying it's her time. You know, it was time to leave this earth. All these cliche sayings. So that's what I did, and that's what helped me.
Wow, that's powerful because you're exactly right. People mean well, but they really don't know what to say during that moment there as well. So you read the book. Were there any other coping mechanisms that you tapped into to kind of get you through this period of your life?
Yeah, the coping mechanism for me, I've always been a very active person. So I was going to the gym at least 7 days a week.
Wow.
Sometimes twice a day.
Mm-hmm.
Just to really get, I was angry.
Mm-hmm.
I was very hurt by God, you know.
Yes.
I even questioned if he existed.
Yeah.
Because that was her favorite holiday.
Yeah.
And I remember when she passed, everybody, it was almost like she knew she was about to leave this earth, because I remember even 2 days before she passed, she was making sure, you know, back in the day, everybody, before all this technology with people texting, she sent out all her Christmas cards.
Wow.
So when the news came that she had passed, they were like, what do you mean? Remember, I just told you about Impact.
Yes.
They were like, what do you mean? I just got her Christmas card. So that's what I had to do to, you know, be successful to help with the grieving process.
Yeah, she sounds like
Go ahead.
Sounds like a phenomenal lady. Really does. So when you lost your mother, did you have any guides or mentors to kind of help you get through the grieving process? Did you no one there for you?
Honestly, for me, I would definitely say, retrospectively, it's best to find somebody to talk to. Yes. I would definitely say that at that time, I would have definitely, social media wasn't as prevalent as now. Mm-hmm. I would definitely have sought out a therapist. But I'll be honest with you, that book was so powerful. Not only did it help me, it helped my father. My father was going to counseling sessions with other people. And if I may say, the other people was of the other culture. They were not of African-American culture. Not to say that a person leading the counseling group is not going to be effective, but that connection, it wasn't there. It was missing. And I said, Dad, here, I finished reading the book. Here's the book.
Wow.
Wow, this book is powerful.
Wow.
You know, and it helped him.
What was the name of that book again, just for those folks out there who made
it? A Time to Grieve. And I actually, it was so powerful. I told you, I had staff and in the healthcare and the nursing field that I actually wrote a grant called Live, Listen, Inspire, Voice Emotions. I wrote a grant. I was able to acquire 2,000 books. Because there wasn't a grieving counseling department, would you believe, at that hospital that I was working. And I told the chaplain to gift any person who lost a family member. And they were like, wow, how did she know? And I said, because I walked that journey. Right. I know that journey.
That's a big difference. Yeah, absolutely. So on your darkest day, Elizabeth, what kept you motivated to keep going?
What kept me motivated and keep going? The interesting thing, almost kind of like similar to the, I'm going to use the example with the Lion King, you know, how they had Simba, you know, and it was like when the father died, Simba was going to be the king now.
Yes.
So I remember my mother telling me when one person transitions, leaves this earth, another person comes into the earth.
Sure, okay.
So uniquely, I have to say, my children's father, my fiance at the time, lost his mother in January of 2002. Here, I lose my mother in December of 2002. Now, one thing, I did kind of hone into my mother the day before, and I said, Mom, I think I'm pregnant. What happened was I went for ultrasound in February of 2003 and found out I was pregnant with twins.
Wow.
I cried tremendously because my mother had me late in life. She was career focused. So she had me at 45. That was always, that was always her dream.
Sure.
So people always say that the fervent prayers, sometimes it may not be your prayers, but it may be the prayers of the ancestors.
Yes.
So when it was announced to me I was carrying twins, I knew immediately that God was like, lady, you know, Elizabeth, you got to get it together. So that was my motivating factor, was I was about to now, I was in the grieving process, but now I'm having to get ready to be a mom to twin identical sons.
Wow. Yeah. And they're very, very handsome boys, and they are definitely identical.
Thank you.
Identical. Yeah. So, I mean, that took a lot of courage to do that. So as you, look back on your journey here, how would you say that, that experience kind of shaped you as a person today though?
Definitely that experience shaped me as a person today, because I remember distinctly two things in my life that I feared the most. The death of my parents or the assault of a weapon with a gun. And I told you I worked in trauma ICU. I've seen all kinds of patients with, you know, assaults and things like that. However, when I was faced with my biggest fear, which was the death of my mother, my confidant, my best friend, I remember my dad was very, very protective. I guess he was concerned because I had shared with him, I believe I'm pregnant. And he was just very protective, and he did not want me to talk on my mother's behalf, which was to do the eulogy. And I persisted, and I said, there is nobody better than myself than to do the eulogy. And number two, if I can do this eulogy and eulogize my mother, I know that anything that will come in my path, I'll be able to conquer.
Yes, yes.
And here I was eulogizing my mother before 400 people. I mean, the church was packed, and people came up to me, was hugging me. I had other friends and family whose mothers said, if I die, wow, I want you to eulogize, really? Just like Elizabeth did. Yes, wow. Yes, yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
That had to be very, very beautiful. And I'm sure your mother and your family were very, very proud of you.
Yes, yes.
And the way mm-hmm. you did that as well. So, yes. You know, as you reflect back, you said you would, one of the things you would do differently is maybe seek out therapy.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Anything else you would do differently?
I would definitely seek out the therapy. Reason why I say that is because from 30 years old to 40 years old, I was what I call functionally depressed. Mm. I was a director in nursing. I was managing a budget of $5.5 million. I had an FTE of 65 plus, full-time employees under me. You know, as a Black woman or man, you have to show up, you know, at all times and be ready and be prepared and be on top and display Black excellence. You know, I had to be there for my kids, you know, that were in there. All the sports that you could, you know that commercial, they say Bo knows this and Bo knows that. Yes. Well, it was twins know this. And I mean, there's not one sport these kids haven't touched. So I had to be prepared and ready for that. And then at some point, my relationship with their father kind of tanked because mm-hmm. I was in fear. I didn't want to be touched. I didn't want to talk to anybody. So because when I would come home, I was exhausted.
Yeah.
So for 10 years, I was functionally depressed, doing all these things. You know, our relationship we split up, you know, we broke off. I had to break the engagement. The boys were three. So, you know, to this day, he just had a Founders Day, he's a Kappa. We speak very well, to the point where family and friends say, you know, why can't you guys get back together? And I said, look, we're better off friends. Trust me. Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm a businesswoman. Everything you see that I'm doing is because of the benefits of my son. Don't get it twisted. So that's why I would say definitely therapy, because it's very important to speak to somebody, to kind of somebody that's not your pastor who knows you. Sure. Not somebody who's, you know, your sister or brother or cousin, a best friend, that you need somebody with a non-biased perspective.
Yes.
To really give you a different perspective. And culturally, like I shared with you before, you know, just Black people, period. We have a disdained aversion. We are scared to share our deepest, darkest bones and skeletons with anyone. Sure. And culturally, you know, my father, you know, was African. My mother is Haitian. Those two cultures in itself, they're not trying to really reveal their pain.
Sure.
To anybody. So that's what I dealt with. But once I was able to get to almost 40, I realized that, hey, Liz, you're going to have to do something. And that's when I finally reached out and got a life coach, and my world changed.
That is awesome. That is awesome. So Liz, as we finish up the last question here, there are a lot of folks who went through tough times last year, losing family members, losing jobs, losing possessions. What advice would you give them in terms of staying motivated to get beyond those challenges and that a better day is on the horizon for them? What advice would you tell them right now?
So what I would tell them right now, because again, I faced a major challenge in 2018. I lost my best friend in February of 2018. And then 3 months later, my father died. So even last year, I lost like five people, one of which is like a brother to me. He was young. He was only not even 46 yet. And what I would say is that every day you're able to open your eyes and see, hear, taste, and feel, you know, really delve into loving the fact that you're able to make another day and another opportunity. And if there's anything, for that matter, that your loved one told you that they wanted to accomplish and they had faith to communicate that information with you, try to see if you can help that memory to live on. Wow. And that's what I'm basically doing, because, you know, my cousin, my best friend that had passed, there are a lot of things that we discussed that they're not able to achieve at this point because they've transitioned. So that's what I would say, is just to really try to live life for what it is and enjoy the moment, no matter what place you're in. Know that storms will come, but those storms too will pass.
Wow. Very, very sound advice from Elizabeth Korshoo. Let's give her a round of applause. Thank you, Elizabeth.
Thank you.
And great advice. So, Elizabeth, if people want to get a hold of you, what's the best way for them to reach out and connect with you?
The best way to reach out and connect with me would be through Facebook. I have, it's called Nurse Exec Innovations LLC page. It's NURSEEXEC. Innovations. I'm also available on Instagram under the same name, Nurse Exec Innovations, as well as Elizabeth Korshoo. I'll spell my last name, C as in cat, O as in Oscar, R as in rabbit, S as in Sam, H as in hat, U, Korshoo. I'm available on LinkedIn.
So she's all over the place. So if you're looking for someone to be, to get you inspired and motivate to get beyond the hurdle, you reach out to her for sure, though.
And then I'm also, I forgot to say, on Clubhouse at Nurse Exec 411.
Wow. So you have no reason, no excuse not to be able to find her at all. So listen, yes. we've taken care of the serious part. We're gonna have some fun now before you go. All right.
Okay.
So this is our segment that we call the rapid fire purpose questions. All right.
Okay.
So I'm gonna ask you a number of questions around purpose, and I'm not gonna follow up with any of the questions, and you just give us your best answer, okay?
Okay.
Ready? You need water or anything? You're good.
I'm good.
All right, here we go. How have you turned a dream into reality?
How did I turn a dream into reality? I turned it by having a conversation with a woman that was trying to discourage me, and my response to her was that my vision and my dreams are far bigger than her aspirations. And what I mean by that, I was told that I wanted to be a CNO, a chief nursing officer of an organization. And I remember leaning in and smiling and telling her, thank you very much for the vote of confidence, but my vision and dreams are bigger than that. I'm now a CEO and founder of a company, my own company. I now have my own live digital media platform titled Pass the Mic. I have so many other things I'm about to embark on that it goes way beyond. I'm not taking anything away from anybody who wants to be a CNO, but that's my experience.
That's good. I like that. What gives your life meaning?
What gives my life meaning is my ability to open my eyes and take a deep breath independently, not having to have a machine to do that.
If money wasn't an issue for you, what would you spend your time doing?
If money was?
Was not.
Was not. I would be traveling everywhere.
Okay. What verb best describes you?
I would say strategic.
Okay, good one. What problem do you want to solve in our world?
I want to solve the levels of inequity in regards to health disparities.
Okay. What was your favorite thing to do as a kid?
Definitely, I love to dance. I wanted to be the next Debbie Allen.
Okay, good one. What do you wish you had more time to do?
I wish I had more time, 36 hours in a day, because there's just so much things that are in my mind that I want to accomplish. Okay.
What did your 15-year-old self imagine you would be doing right now?
My 15-year-old self imagined that I would be head of a particular unit, which I've accomplished. I would say that's pretty much it.
Okay. Who inspires you most?
The two that inspired me the most are my mother and my father. Both of them are immigrants to this country. They came during the 1960s and they were able to achieve their degrees. So I'm second generation college educated.
Awesome. Love it. What's something about yourself that we might find surprising to learn?
What you would find surprising to learn is that I was an avid tennis player. I played first singles. I actually started to learn to play tennis probably the year that Serena Williams was born. Wow.
Okay.
Yeah, I actually had an opportunity to play for a college, but my mother didn't feel that I could balance both nursing and that, that roster with the tennis.
So what's on your bucket list to do within the next year?
What's on my bucket list? I am just looking to be one big badass influencer that is known not only nationwide, but worldwide in regards to making impact in the healthcare arena.
Love it. What's something you'll spend your time doing no matter what?
I would spend my time no matter what, speaking to people, inspiring them and uplifting them and motivating them, because words are like currency. Words can either build a person up or it can tear a person down.
Okay. What do you want your grandchildren to say about you?
I want to say them to say that she is the legacy and leadership builder, and she is just one big phenomenal woman.
Love it. If you were a superhero, what would your superpower be?
My superpower would be able to, what's the word? Every time, well, it's actually, I feel like it's reality. Every time I would speak, things will come into existence. And believe me, words are powerful. That's why I tell people speak it into existence. So it'd be every time I open my mouth, anything I want to happen will happen.
I love it. If I were to walk around your home, what clues would reveal about what it is that you love?
My shoes.
Okay. Yeah. What would you go back to school for?
Well, I'm currently in school for my doctorate of health science and telehealth and global health. Like I told you, I don't know if you remember the cartoon Pinky and the Brain. I want to rule the world.
She is on her way, folks. She is on her way. All this education. I love it. I love it. What sparks your creativity?
What sparks my creativity? Sitting by nice ocean waves, wherever beautiful ocean, that's a body of water. That's what sparks my creativity.
Love it. If you became president today, what law would you pass first?
Honestly, it would be anti-terrorism, domestic terroristic threats law.
Okay.
That's the law I would pass.
What do you love to do for others?
What I love to do is I love to connect others to people that can help each other.
Okay. What's the best gift you've ever been given?
My twin sons.
Okay. What's the best compliment you've ever received?
The best compliment I ever received was that I love to see people win.
Okay. What's one thing you have never been afraid to do?
Take a risk.
Okay. What moment from your childhood are you most proud of?
I'm most proud of being able to get on stage and not be fearful, because I was very shy as a child.
Okay, good. What does success look like for you?
Success is a journey, not a destination. It is not a destination.
Okay. If I were to speak to the people who know you best, what would they say your purpose in life is?
They would say my purpose in life is that I'm a global thinker with a very analytical mindset, looking to make severe impact in anybody's life.
Okay. What are you most grateful for?
I'm most grateful for the second chance of life because I'm a heart failure survivor.
Wow. Awesome. What is the biggest lesson you've learned in life?
The biggest lesson that I learned in life is that anything that you've lost in the past, you can regain with the power of prayer, the positioning of yourself with the right circle of friends and mentors, and you can achieve anything that your mind is set to achieve.
That's right. And then last but not least, how do you want to be remembered in history?
I want to be remembered in history as the greatest influencer that has impacted change in the diversity and inclusion space.
Awesome. Congratulations, Elizabeth. You've made it through. Give yourself a round of applause.
Thank you. Thank you. That's great.
So
you'll keep me posted. You'll send me an email. I don't have to go back and forth with you, right?
No. We'll keep you posted. So as we ready to wrap things up here, Elizabeth, for our listening audience, what other advice can you give them around resiliency and purpose as we wrap things up here today?
What I would say in regards to resiliency and purpose, number one, don't let a particular situation, diagnosis, a relationship, a career, your educational status define you. Like I've said before, every place that a person is in, you're there for a reason and a season. And if you feel that you want to get out of that season, align yourself, find people that can help you, because there are people that are willing to help you so you can get unstuck and move to greatness.
Great advice, Elizabeth. Elizabeth, if people want to contact you, tell us once more how they can get in contact with you.
They can contact me on all the social media sites. I'm available on LinkedIn as Elizabeth Korshoe. I'm available on Nurse Exec Innovations Facebook page. I'm available on Instagram, Nurse Exec Innovations page as well, and Clubhouse as Nurse Exec 411.
Awesome. So you heard it. Reach out to her. Get the advice. Join the challenge, because she's going to help you do some amazing things. So if you're a person out there who's an overcomer and has an amazing story, we want to hear from you. Why don't you go to tawatson.com, share your story with us. Also, subscribe to our podcast, Resilient Stories. Download this episode, rate it, review it, share it with your folks on social media. We're also looking for sponsors. So if you want to be a sponsor, reach out to us as well. Again, we thank you for your time and energy. Elizabeth Korshoe, my sorority sister, Rue, as well.
Yeah.
So everyone out there, deuces, peace, and love. We'll see you soon. God bless.
Yours truly,
God bless.
Dr. Watson. My story.